At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter X.com/AI.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with you on another edition of Phillies Today as the Phils take a much-needed series from the Cubs to, I was going to come on here this week if they lost this series and just absolutely lay into this team after, you know, getting swept by the Pirates and losing 9 of 10. It had been a pretty brutal stretch for the Phillies, one of the worst stretches, you know, I could say during the Rob Thompson era here, what we witnessed for the past 10 to 15 games prior to this Cubs series. But to their credit, they took 2 of 3 from a good baseball team. But that doesn't mean I'm still not going to critique them a little bit here. So we'll get into that. Want to get into some big picture stuff a little bit as we are, you know, a month and a half out from the trade deadline. And, of course, we'll get into the lineup, get into the pitching, and give you a little Blue Jays preview as well. As they're playing the Blue Jays for, what, second time in 2 weeks, which is odd to see. But like I said, we will talk about it all and get into it right here. So first thing I want to discuss is sort of big picture. And as I mentioned, really brutal stretch for the Phils over the past couple of weeks. They lose 9 of 10. They've lost like 8 games in the standings. They were 4 games up with the Mets at one point. Now they're just about 5 games under in the National League East as the Mets continue to just win and win. They're playing like the Rockies and the Nationals. And of course, the Phillies benefited from playing those teams as well. But the Mets are continuing to gain steam here and continuing to gain games on the Phillies in the National League East here and winning again today. And I kind of am in the mindset of with this team, like after the weekend, was pretty mad, pretty pissed off, like most Phillies fans were after a pretty feeble effort over there in Pittsburgh after, you know, the injury to Bryce, and we'll get into the Bryce injury as well. But I kind of had the mindset of, okay, this team, I need to see something from them before July 31st that'll tell me I shouldn't sell some of these pieces on the farm. Meaning, do you give up Painter? Do you give up Miller? Do you give up Abel? Do you give up Justin Crawford, Eduardo Tait, Escobar, all these guys? Like, is this a team worth investing in to where you're moving these guys out at the trade deadline? And to me, after the Pittsburgh series, that was my biggest takeaway, is that I didn't want to part with these guys because I didn't believe in this team enough. And a lot of it has to do with the injury status of Bryce Harper, which I might as well talk about now. And Bryce Harper, last Friday before the game in Pittsburgh, goes back on the injured list after just coming back from the elbow thing that he had going on after getting hit by the pitcher Spencer Strider. And once that happens, and that was after Lizardo had his 2 blow-up outings, and it just seemed like the lineup wasn't producing enough, I was in the mindset of, you know what, this team has to show me something from this point up until July 31st to be able to say, look, it's worth parting with one of these big time prospects for. And that's still kind of where I sit at right now. And I know they had a good series against the Cubs, and I appreciated that they took 2 or 3 at home and sort of bounced back from that standpoint. But at the same time, there has just been too much inconsistency, I think, so far this year to say, you know, this is a team that is 100% worth going all in on. And I think that that is the thing you have to find out between now and the trade deadline, which is on July 31st. Like, if you're going to go out and get a stud and get a bat in your lineup that can really, you know, bolster this thing or go get a couple relievers, like, there might be too many holes on this team to kind of patch that up with. And if you're giving up Aiden Miller, or if you're giving up Andrew Painter, or, you know, even some of these lower level guys like Tyeet or Arun Escobar, like, I have to think that they can win the World Series this year. And if not, I just don't think I want to be, I'm not somebody who wants to part with those guys just to, you know, maybe have a chance of getting to the World Series with a group that has some imperfections still, even post-trade deadline. So a lot of that has to do with the lineup, but a lot of that has to do with the bullpen. Like, it doesn't feel like this lineup has enough juice in it right now to where one bat, say, a Jarren Duran is going to help you out there, or even a Kyle Tucker, who obviously isn't getting traded, but was a trade option before the season. Like, I don't think having Kyle Tucker in this lineup right now is fixing all the holes that are there. So, and also with the bullpen, with Alvarado being out, you're really starting to see where those holes are at as well. And just some of those high leverage spots that are being taken down by some of these guys. Like, you have Taijuan Walker coming in the sixth inning with a one run lead the other night. And, you know, as much as I was rooting for high leverage Taijuan, or Ty leverage, as some were calling it, I believe Matt Gelb was the first to tweet that out. But, you know, as much as I was hoping that that was a situation that could work and Rob Thompson wanted to see Taijuan Walker get some high leverage innings, like, that was never a strategy that was really going to pan out at the end of the day, I think. And they're clearly missing some big, some high leverage guys. And having Jose Alvarado on the shelf for the postseason and for the rest of this 80-game stretch that he's serving, like, they're going to need a lot more, I think, than just one arm. And they have probably, I don't even know if you can say they have an arm you can trust in the bullpen right now. Like, I think Orion Kerkering is pitching really well at the moment. I think that Romano has been up and down all season. I think that Matt Strom is not having the all-star campaign that he had last year. And with all those things combined with the lineup issues, I just don't know if trading one of those big-time prospects is going to be worth it in the end and makes this team a World Series team. So I think that's a harsh reality, but unless they show me something from this date, June 13th, on to the trade deadline, which is on July 31st, I don't know if that's the move I'm going to make, is trading one of those guys. Like, I think they probably end up doing something similar than what they've done the past couple of deadlines and make some minor moves to try to improve this team. But at the same time, I don't know if any of those moves necessarily move the needle in terms of you being a title contender. So it's the harsh reality, but at the same time, this lineup has to show me something, and this bullpen, in order to, you know, move off of that stance for now. So want to get into the thing that this team is a strength of this team, excuse me, and that is the starting pitching. And it was really, really good to see Jesus Luzardo bounce back in the way that he did on Wednesday, because after those last two outings, the one against the Brewers where he allows 12 earned and against the Blue Jays where he allows 8 earned, like, I think we all had a real reality check. And we're thinking, is Jesus Luzardo taking down too many innings? Obviously, last year in Miami, he was hurt and he already surpassed that amount of innings so far this year. And is he in a spot where, you know, he has a great first few months of the season, but was that something that sort of can't be sustained long term? And is he more of a short sprint guy? And to see him go 6 innings yesterday, 10 strikeouts, all looking, that was a really positive sign to see from Jesus Luzardo. And the reports were that he was tipping pitches and that they made some adjustments. I think it was something with his wrist where he was exposing the ball to base runners, whether it was on first, second, third, whatever. And they were picking up on that and sort of, you know, hitting the ball around a little bit. And to see him make the adjustment yesterday and to see the organization or the coaching staff or whoever sort of helped him with that, to see him go 6 innings and have 10 strikeouts and only give up the one run like he did on Wednesday, really, really, great sign. And the fact that he got all those swings and misses and was out of the middle of the zone, I thought was the big thing. Like, his sinker, as great as the velocity's been all year and as good as the fastball has been, I think that it being in the middle of the plate so much has sort of been part of the problem for him over those last two starts. And frankly, I'll move on to Christopher Sanchez here. Like, I think that has been why Christopher Sanchez maybe hasn't had the dominance that he did in 2024. Like, he's been good, no doubt, but at the same time, I don't think that he's had the, you know, incredible stuff that he did that got him the contract extension last year. And I think we're starting to see with Luzardo and with Christopher Sanchez that they're starting to figure out that, you know, velocity's good and we want our stuff to, you know, be 97, 98, but at the same time, you got to stay out at the center of the plate. So if that means a slight downtick in velocity or just making some adjustments there, whether it's with the windup or, you know, with the release or follow through, like, I think that them being able to stay out of the middle of the plate with the fastball is going to be really critical, because clearly the changeup for Christopher Sanchez is going to play up really well against any sort of fastball when you have that sort of, you know, spin rate that you do with the changeup and with his other breaking stuff. I think that him keeping the fastballs out of the middle of the zone is really going to be the key to him unlocking the success that he did in 2024, even though, again, he's having a fine year. So not worried about Christopher Sanchez, but again, great to see Luzardo bounce back the way he did. And Wheeler, nice to see him bounce back, or not bounce back, come back from paternity leave after he had his fourth child. And like Zach Wheeler does, dominated in his last start. And he is just, again, going to be an all-star, one of the most consistent guys out there. And, you know, I'll tell you what, a lot of people are doing their top 11 list here at WIP this week and voting for the top 11 athletes in Philadelphia. And while a lot of Eagles are going to be on there, and my pick would be Saquon Barkley to be the number one athlete in the city, Zach Wheeler is right there among those guys. And he should be two or three, I think, on anybody's list. So the way he is dominated just over the course of his Phillies tenure so far, I know I talk about it a lot, but it really is special, special stuff that we're watching. And for him to be able to have the week off, and look, he hasn't been somebody who's dealt with rest well throughout his career. Like, he's somebody who's known to like being on the 5 days of rest and being on a regimented schedule and stuff like that. Like, he's had a couple blow-up outings, and he's still pitching to a 2.8 ERA and is tied for six in strikeouts in Major League Baseball after missing a week with 101 there. So, again, just can't say enough good things about Zach Wheeler. He continues to dominate and just be one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball, so good stuff from him. Also good stuff from Ranger Suarez, who continues to be a quality start machine since his first start against Arizona and since coming back from injury. And early on, when Jose Alvarado got suspended and it came down that, you know, the Phillies would be without him for 80 games and for the postseason, I was like, I was in the camp of maybe they should move Ranger to the bullpen, whether it's now or whether it's later in the season. I think that left-handed arm really could help you out in a lot of ways coming out of the bullpen in high leverage situations or in bulk. But he's pitching too well right now to take him out of the starting rotation. And if he continues to dominate the way that he has and keep stuff out of the middle of the plate, like I talked about the other two left-handers, like, he is somebody who you actually can't afford to take out of the rotation. And I actually think that maybe Christopher Sanchez stuff would play better up in the bullpen if we're talking about the postseason and who they would maybe move there to, you know, get that left-handed arm in the bullpen. But what Ranger has done since he's come back from injury has been really impressive here. Like, since that start against Arizona, it's been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 straight quality starts. That means going six innings of a three-run ball or less. So just really impressive stuff from Ranger, and he continues to go out there every fifth day and shoves, so giving the Phillies a chance to win. So that's good stuff from Ranger as well. Want to give an update on Aaron Nola, who seems like is having the longest ankle sprain of all time, which, you know, now is not just an ankle sprain. And I think there was a sickness going around in the Phillies clubhouse, and he was one of those affected by the sickness for, you know, stronger than others. And apparently he has a rib injury. Like, they don't know how it or where it stemmed from, but he has a rib injury. It was probably from coughing or sneezing, and I've heard of that before, but just some tough injury luck for Aaron Nola. So he is kind of still on the shelf. They're monitoring the situation with him and being extra cautious, which, you know, is fine because, hey, Mick Abel has pitched phenomenally so far for the Phillies. And I'll get to Mick Abel real quick. I thought that his start earlier this week against the Cubs, I know they lost, and I know he didn't have his best stuff, but I thought he showed a lot of stones, and I thought it was really impressive what he was able to do. And that at-bat, against Kyle Tucker in the fourth inning. If you're a team that's looking to trade for McAble, or if the Phillies are looking to shop McAble, like, that's something where you can say, against Kyle Tucker, bases loaded, game seemingly in the balance, because if you give up a hit there and you're down, what, 5-0, I think, at that point, that would have been a tough, you know, hill to climb back up. I think that that showed a lot of guts from McAble, and the way he was able to kind of get out of that inning, and he finally started walking guys, which, you know, has been a problem for McAble in the past, but I thought it was really impressive and showed a lot of guts that he was able to get out of that inning and strike out one of the best hitters in baseball in Kyle Tucker in that spot. So good stuff for McAble there. Not as good of stuff from Andrew Painter this week down in Lehigh Valley. Finally, felt like he had his first blow-up outing since being down in AAA. I think he gave up 6 runs in 5 innings, a few homers in there. And so not great from Andrew Painter, but at the same time, you kind of expected a blow-up or a couple blowouts or blow-ups to happen at some point. My whole thing with him now is it feels like he's not coming up until after the All-Star break, which is okay. Like they said, July probably earlier on in the season and spring training, but I was hoping that he would probably get up here late June, early July, and it seems like that timeline has been pushed back a little bit towards the end of the summer, which, again, take all the time he needs, because this starting rotation, that is not the problem right now, and they have a lot of other holes to fix that, you know, minor leaguers could, you know, potentially be in line to fix with Otto Kemp already coming up and how him taking over the first base role, essentially, and Justin Crawford probably coming up once his quad injury settles down. Would expect him to probably be up here at some point in the month of June or July. So they're going to get reinforcements from position players, but for now, I think Andrew Painter just needs to get right, take his time down in AAA, and when they are ready for him to be called up, it's full go for Andrew Painter there in the rotation. So that's it for the pitching staff. Want to move on to the lineup here a little bit.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I like the adjustment that Rob Thompson made this week with making Trey the permanent leadoff hitter. It was something I was calling for, and Trey's been hitting really, really well this year, and I think he's on pace to be an all-star in the all-star game this season. But I think that ultimately Bryson Stott's struggles just need to be addressed in some sort of fashion. And he's 5 for his last 43, and it feels like a lot of the strikes that he's getting, he's just fouling off. He's getting a lot of good pitches to hit, but he just isn't barreling him up at all. So I understand why he wanted to move him down the lineup, and I thought it was only a matter of time before they gave Trey the reins to the leadoff spot full-time, and I think it's well-earned because we know that Trey has had his defensive lapses in the field at times and that he's not the greatest shortstop to ever walk the face of the earth. But I think that what he's done for you at the plate this year has been really valuable. And, hey, if Bryce is out long-term and we're pretty, up in the air with Bryce right now about when he's going to come back. A wrist injury is something where it stems from last year, and the fact is that I don't know if it needs to be surgically repaired in the offseason or if it's something that's just going to take a lot of time to sort of heal on its own here. But however long Bryce is out, Trey is going to have to be the guy that pretty much steps up and is the star of this offense along with Kyle Schwarber. So I think that him hitting well is really important for this team, and he's going through a nice little stretch right now, and hopefully he can keep that up because I think that he is ultimately going to be so key in that leadoff spot and just setting the tone for this offense the way kind of Kyle Schwarber did when he was the leadoff hitter for the past couple of seasons. So good stuff from Trey, and hopefully Stott returns to form a little bit, because I think early in the season when the lineup was probably the best it had been, that was when Bryson Stott was really hitting the ball well, and he lengthens out this lineup so much when he's able to, put bat to ball well and work good at bats and be able to, get those dink and dunk base hits here and there and really drive pitchers crazy. So hopefully we see a little bit better stuff from Stott. One guy who, does get a fair amount of criticism in the lineup that I think deserves some flowers right now is Alec Bohm, who's hitting above 280 now, which, he's hitting above 280, but I want to compliment him here, but I have to, ding him for this a little bit. He's hitting above 280, but his OPS is like 700. I don't even know how that's possible. So he's still not hitting for power, but a lot of singles from Alec Bohm, which is something that, is good for this team. And for the duration that Bryce is out, he's probably going to be your primary three-hole hitter with Schwarber hitting in the two. So if he can continue to have at least some sort of production like he did last season, get a little hot stretch going in terms of just hitting the ball well while Bryce is out, that's going to be massive for this lineup because they need it. They need it badly. And I would say that Trey and Schwarber are the only two bats you can really rely on. So if you can get Alec Bohm back to where he was at the early point of 2024 and what got him to the All-Star game last year, that's going to be absolutely massive for this baseball team. So good stuff from Bohm there. Also good stuff for a guy I've killed also a lot this year, and JT at the plate. I think that what JT has done over the course of the last week has really shown in terms of an adjusted approach, meaning that he's not pulling off the ball a lot right now. And JT's biggest flaw, it seems to be, is he pulls off the ball, and it's a lot of ground balls to third base and shortstop, which leads to him grounding into a lot of double plays and just not having very productive at-bats. But a lot of stuff has been peppered to right field over the course of the last week, and especially during that Cubs series. So really nice to see that, and especially also going towards gap to gap in terms of him using the middle of the field a lot more, as I said, using right field as well. And if he's doing that, then if he can be some sort of productive hitter while Bryce is out, and this lineup can use every ounce of production it can get right now, that would be massive for this baseball team as well. So good stuff from them. Schwarber, I mentioned him a little bit. Hopefully he's breaking out of that little slump he has, and I know it's June, but has not been the productive Schwarber that we've seen in the month of June in the past. Had a homer and a walk yesterday, so that was good to see. Maybe that breaks him out of it a little bit here, but would like to see June Schwarber at its finest, hopefully very soon. So we'll monitor the Schwarber situation for sure. Just a couple bullpen notes before I get to the Blue Jays preview here. One thing I wanted to talk about was the Taijuan Walker situation, which brought up in the early part of the podcast, but they seem to be leaning on him to go one inning and trying him in high leverage spots for the time being. And man, like, the stuff just isn't playing up. Like, I thought the velocity could potentially go up a tick or two if he's just going one inning full on, give it everything you got, but fastball still sitting around 92. Like, the splitter's okay, but I just don't see him as a guy who's going to get hitters out in big situations like that. And he seems really frustrated on his role. And I shouldn't say I don't blame him, because he is getting paid a lot of money to be on this baseball team, but I can understand why it's been a difficult year for him, because he sort of got thrown around back and forth between the rotation and the bullpen. Now they have him in this bullpen role, but his stuff doesn't really play up to be that type of guy. So I understand his frustration a little bit, but at the same time, I don't know when you just cut ties with the guy and say, I don't think this is working out. It's probably something that happens after the season, but wouldn't expect too much out of the tie leverage role, as they're calling it, there in the bullpen. So they also DFA'd Carlos Hernandez. Thank God. Like, if you listen to me before, Carlos Hernandez is a guy who's got some impressive stuff, like can throw very hard, has good velocity, good spin rate, all that stuff. Like, all the metrics and savant people love Carlos Hernandez, but the fact is the guy got absolutely smoked every time he was pitching here. So was glad to see him DFA. They brought Michael Mercado up from the minors, and a lot of minor league call-ups going on lately, which, again, a lot of it is due to the Alvarado loss. So not great there. And Strom's just been really inconsistent this year. Like, I thought Strom was going to step up and be sort of the reliable lefty that they need with Alvarado out. But when they've pegged guys up into, you know, more advanced roles, meaning that, you know, you have Strom and Romano going to the ninth now instead of the eighth, and you have Kirkering being the fireman and whatnot. Like, a lot of these guys are just being thrusted into roles that I think they're probably not as comfortable with as what they were in before. So you need guys to step up, but that really hasn't been the case so far. And it's the reason why, if they're going to be a World Series contending team, like, they're going to have to make moves for multiple arms at the deadline, which, again, is what a lot of teams I think they're contending could probably say. So it's not going to be cheap, and you're probably going to have to, you know, offer up one of your prospects that you really weren't willing to give up prior to the Jose Alvarado situation. So before we get out of here, want to give you the Phils Blue Jays preview for this weekend. Again, like I said, Phils taking on the Blue Jays for the second time in 2 weeks, which is interesting considering that, you know, a few years back when interleague play was still a thing, that would have been like absurd to think that that was something that could happen. But Blue Jays will visit CBP this weekend for a 3-game set. Friday night, you've got Kevin Gausman against Ranger, who, again, looking for another quality start after 6 straight, which is ultra impressive to see. And Gausman, a good pitcher himself, but has been up and down this year, has an ERA in the high 3s. So that'll be Friday night. Then you've got Saturday during the day. Bowden Francis, who they absolutely smoked up there in Toronto, will be going for the Blue Jays. And he will be facing one Christopher Sanchez, who looking to build off of an impressive last start. And then Sunday to wrap up the series, you've got Jose Berrios, who they faced last year and I think absolutely smoked. I think they put up an 8 spot on him at CBP last season. He will face Zach Wheeler, who looks to, you know, strengthen his all-star and potential Cy Young campaign. So those are the matchups for this weekend. Hopefully they can take 2 out of 3, keep stacking up some series, because they got some big matchups coming up. Like, the schedule gets much, much harder as, you know, the weeks go on here. And like I said, they have the Blue Jays this weekend, then they Marlins, whatever. Then they have the Mets for a big, big series next weekend at Houston, at the Braves, who are a desperate team, home against the Padres, then the Reds and the Giants, and Giants having a very good season. So they've got some tough matchups coming up. Take 2 or 3 this weekend, win another series, and we'll go from there. So that'll wrap it up for this edition of Phillies Today. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. And for Phillies 24/7, this has been Justin Morgenstern. Have a good one, everyone. I'll see you.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at chumbacasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We the people of the ballpark are all in on baseball. We deserve dingers and dogs, sunshine and a beat, a place to take it all in and let it all out. Baseball for the people. Baseball is something else. Visit MLB.com/tickets and spend this summer with us. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's refreshing!